to save upsetting every beast further, Friar Sugum spoke.
Well, now, me and the Abbess and our party, we still got plenty of searching yet to do. We scoured the cellars, Great Hall, and Cavern Hole, too. We're up to the dormitory so far, but there's still the attics. Though why any beast in their right mind would want to go wandering up in those dusty old chambers is beyond me. You scouted out your infirmary yet, sister?
Fumbrill replied promptly.
First thing I did, Friar, everything is as it should be. No sign of Dibbons.
The otter paused, tapping her rudder thoughtfully.
Friar, I just thought of something. That stout vermin we caught in your kitchens. It might be worth talking to him about our Dibbons. 'Tis worth a try, eh?
Skipper clenched his paws.
You're right, sister. I don't fret. If that un's got anything to say, I'll learn the truth one way or another, trust me. Where's the wretch now, Friar?
When we went off to search the cellars, I tied him to the leg of my heavy old work table. Good and tight.
The young Stoke Globby was watching them from an upper dormitory window. He saw the Friar making paw movements, telling Skipper how he had bound his captive to the table leg. Globby chewed on an oat file which he had stuffed with cheese, smiling over his easy escape. Ha! That stupid old fool had only tied him by the foot paws. The Friar was in too much of a hurry to join the search for the precious little ones. They had left him alone. Every beast from the kitchen went along with the Friar, and the mouse they called Mother Abbess. Idiots! He had watched Sugum cut the length of cord to tie him with. Unbelievable! The old duffer had left his knife on the table and dashed off. Globby cut himself loose, tucked the knife into his belt, helped himself to a few victuals, and sneaked out of the kitchens. The moment he put his head outside the abbey door, though, the young ravager saw that it was not going to be so simple escaping from Redwall. The grounds were being combed by Redwallers, both singly and in small groups. Globby retreated from the door as he heard some moles passing by.
Your gurfer usn't be's best looking round under he windows. They might have leave tracks.
Flattening himself against one of the sandstone columns in Great Hall, the stoat saw Drull Hogwife passing, holding two Dibbons' paws.
You lend me some help, my dears, and don't go straying off now. Two Dibbons is enough loss for one day. Let's take a look round by the tapestry.
When they had gone, Globby ventured out. He avoided going downstairs, knowing the cellars were being searched. Upstairs, that was the place to hide, and he had heard one of the kitchen helpers saying that the dormitories were upstairs. Not knowing what a dormitory was, Globby hurried up the stairs, opening the first door he came to. He was confronted by neat rows of little truckle beds. So, dormitories were bedrooms. He was learning all the time. Hearing voices approaching, he nipped inside, partially closing the door. He peeped through the crack. Sister Fumbrill and a squirrel maid, infirmary helper, bustled by, talking animatedly.
We'll search that sick bay again from top to bottom.
I'll check all the big linen cupboards, shall I, sister?
Good idea, Twistle. That's always a favourite dib and hiding place.
They went up a short, curving flight of stairs to the left. Globby waited a moment before leaving the dormitory. He took a flight of stairs off to the right. It led to another dormitory, one with fewer, larger beds. Obviously, for the older Redwallers, that was where he watched from the window and saw the big otter and the Friar heading indoors. The young stoat sat on a bed, reviewing his position. Where to go? How to avoid the searchers?